And so to album reviews on this Friday evening, Divine Comedy, and Neil Hannon bring us Office Politics, the name of the track and the theme of many of the songs. Avicii, otherwise known as Tim Bergling, died tragically by suicide just over a year ago. At the time, a new album had been almost finished, almost recorded, now been completed and assisted by friends and collaborators, including Coldplay's Chris Martin. That album is called Tim. And New Jersey siblings Kevin, Joe and Nick, otherwise known as Jonas Brothers, returned from a 10-year hiatus with their fifth album, which is called Happiness Begins. With me in studio, Nadine O'Regan and John Maher. Let's start with the Divine Comedy and a song called Norman and Norma. Norman and Norma, and that's from the new album from the Divine Comedy. The album is called Office Politics. When I listened to that song today, I really thought, I'm kind of in obla-di obla-da land with this.
So much so. And it is almost impossible to listen to that chorus and not find yourself like singing along and doing some kind of hand movements. It's just infectious. Mm. It's so catchy and so quirky as well. I mean, this is such a Neil Hannon album in the sense that you can feel that he's having fun on almost every track. It's a concept record about office life at one level, which is remarkably odd in itself and eccentric. And it really feels like he's had all these ideas and he just ventures down the road in each case. And he'll pull out an accordion if it's right for that song. He'll pull out some synths. At one point, he's basically talking into his iPhone about a song that he would and the song, he says, is going to be called Philip and Steve's Furniture Removal Company. And he says it's based on the early lives of Philip Glass and Steve Reich in New York in the 60s. Many hilarious gags about the repetitive nature of the work. And then he goes into the track. It's just, he's having a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the music, what he does with that music is very clever as well, because he kind of loops the stuff in the Steve Reich fashion where they're not quite in sync with each other. But and Nadine talking there about the concept album and the office politics, there are a number of the songs that deal with office politics, and we'll come back to some of those. But then you have the Norman and Norma strain as well. There's almost like there are other albums, like a heartbreak album going on towards the end as well.
I mean, I kind of, one of the things I felt about this was Neil Hannon is an Irishman. Let's get that straight for a start. But there are a few songwriters that write about England and Middle England as well as him. And he's done that throughout his career. And I actually loved the song we just played. I mean, I kind of felt it was kind of Partridge-esque almost in terms of the fun he's kind of having with it. And it is a sense of ordinary lives, ordinary disappointments, ordinary expectations, hopes and fears. There's a lot of wit here. There's some really clever wordplay. These are all tropes of Neil Hannon's through the years. And there's a sense that one thing that kind of surprised me in a way, because it feels like such a complete album, is that much of it was derived from sessions for the last album, Foreverland. And it doesn't feel like he's just pulled all these scraps together for a stopgap. It feels like a very complete album.
Yeah, and it's a very full album, 16 tracks.
And actually, I was just very struck by, particularly in the context of what we're reviewing this evening, by the ambition of this record, because there's a sense here of somebody who's at a point where he's kind of virtuoso in his own career path. He's able to go into almost an operatic feel at one point, then he can take off early Depeche Mode like nobody's business. He has explored all these different musical avenues, and he is sitting down and producing this record himself. He has his partner Kathy Davey on backing vocals. There's an enormous sense of it being this sort of enterprise where he's at the helm and he's totally in command.
Let's go to one of the tracks that I think really does play into the office politics side of things, and the kind of, in office politics he talks about 0 hours but maximum pressure, so there's a kind of a satirical note within that, and it's also within this song, Absolutely Obsolete. Absolutely obsolete. Please shut the door and take a seat. We're sad to say that you're completely absolutely obsolete. Absolutely obsolete. We know that you'll land on your feet. Clear out your desk and leave to sleep. Be absolutely obsolete. I always thought we had a funny relationship. And Time to stop that track then. Absolutely obsolete from the Divine Comedy. And yet some serious notes within that song in particular and some of the other songs as well, John.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean,
absolutely obsolete.
There's a lot of people that would feel that their work has become obsolete in this internet age. Like a lot of journalists are, for instance, a lot of media people, a lot of people who would have done roles that are now being essentially occupied by computers. And there's a lot of humour here, but underneath the humour, there's huge amounts of truth as well. And it certainly hit home to me.
Yeah, and so the lyrics are just so clever right across, I think, all 16 songs. Probably safe to say stars from you on this one, John. We better move on.
A very strong four.
A very strong four from you. What are you saying, Nadine?
Absolutely a very strong four. And, you know, it's one of those ones that's like an easy four where you'd be like, is it 4.5 kind of thing? It's a great album.
Okay, that's The Divine Comedy and Office Politics. Let's move on to Tim, the title of the posthumous album from Avicii, stage name of Tim Bergling, who died by suicide last year. It's always difficult when somebody has died, no matter what the matter of the death is, when an album comes out that was almost completed. For me, at any rate, there's often a slight discomfort about this needs to be done in such a way that it's honouring the person and that there's no sense that, well, let's cash in while the going's good.
And it does seem to be a very respectful tribute to the man. I mean, of course, Avicii, Tim Bergling, died by suicide at the age of just 28. He'd abandoned the touring life in 2016, having had a lot of mental health difficulties. And this album was completed by his friends and collaborators. And in everything I've read about that, it seems to have been done with enormous respect to the man and done in such a way as they felt that his wishes for his record would have been honoured. It's actually notable that I think from his previous record, he had told Rolling Stone magazine that he had originally written 70 songs for the Stories album. So there was a lot of material that didn't get used. And actually, there's a track on this album, Heaven, that's actually been kicking around since about 2014. So there were versions of songs on this album in existence previously.
It's also, if I could just interject as well, there's the documentary made about his life and times that was released around the time of his death. It's called True Stories. It's well worth looking at, even if you're not an EDM fan, because it really captures how miserable this man's life had become towards the end. He was extremely famous, hugely in demand, but was completely burnt out. And people can sneer about this idea of, you know, celebs being burnt out, but you could absolutely see it in his eyes.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The first three tracks in the album, I think, certainly two of them make very specific references to that quality. Let's listen to the opening track, which is Peace of Mind. Can I get a little bit? And that's Peace of Mind, the opening track on the posthumous Avicii album. Tim, the opening line of that song, Dear Society, you're moving way too fast for me.
And it kind of says,
that was the kind of line that it worried me a little bit, because in the third track on the album, I can feel your love pulling me up from the underground. I don't need my drugs. I suppose there are two ways of looking at that. Is it right to actually say, look, let's lay out just how difficult this man's life was without... But can you do that without being intrusive?
I think it was handled sensitively, I have to say. And that opening track where he just goes, I'm just trying to catch my breath. Yeah. Had he still been around and this tragedy didn't happen, we probably wouldn't think anything of that.
Yeah, you wouldn't listen to
that.
You listen to the lyrics differently,
we do listen very differently. And there is a sense that a lot of it is kind of party music and it's throwaway pop and it's happy, go-lucky stuff. But you are caught every now and again by the lyrics. And I think they're interesting. And there is a sense that his life was difficult. And it makes you realise when fame comes very fast for people and there's a sense that they have to really push themselves to the limit, what can happen to them?
You had pulled it up there, John. Just who were they? It was a Swedish duo.
Swedish duo, Vargas and Legola.
Who were singing there.
And I mean, obviously, Tim Bergling was from Stockholm. Stockholm's an important part of this album. There's a chap called Carl Falk, who is essentially the head of the production team that is responsible for pulling all of this together.
And again, after somebody dies, no different than any walk of life, oh, suddenly everybody's praising what they did and what they were going to do or could have done had they lived. In the case of Avicii, how successful was he and how merited was that success?
Avicii, was a phenomenal talent, and I don't think anyone really has any doubts on that. It's sometimes, though, when people are as successful as he was for tracks like Wake Me Up and so many more, it would have been the situation that you become a victim of that success. You can be mocked a little bit or seen as not as significant as other artists. And actually for me, John, when you're talking about the lyrics, I didn't really feel that the lyrics got to the heart of some of the pain that I think he had been enduring. Partly because he always did the same thing. He always set them against an extremely uplifting EDM backdrop. So a lot of the time as a listener, except for the fact that we know what happened, you wouldn't have paid too much mind to a lot of these lyrics, because he was working within very, very restrained or constrained formal structures of the EDM sort of dance genre. Yeah. And I actually think, if he had been working within, say, the grunge 1990s kind of vibe, we would have had...
Would have heard much more of the anger and anxiety.
But also I think this album shows so much potential and where he could have gone, because he was only 28, and you think of the level of finesse on the production on this is remarkable, and he was always a remarkable producer.
You mentioned the track Heaven earlier on, let's have a listen to that. And I think I just died. I think I just died. Yeah, I think I just died. I think I just died. I'm meant to heaven. And that's the track you were telling me as we were listening there that has Chris Martin. That's one of the tracks that he actually sings on.
Yeah. And Avicii actually brought him in 2014 to do the track, then took him off the track, then put him back on the track. So even the decision to keep the Chris Martin version was a decision made by the
Avicii himself. Yeah. And again, you listen to lyrics like I Think I Just Died and Went to Heaven, and you think, why were things so bad if something good was happening? But you just can't do that. These are songs as opposed to autobiographies.
And songs written
or
back
biographies.
In 2013, 2014, But actually, just one thing to say, there's a track on it featuring Imagine Dragons that is such a great track, and it's called Heart Upon My Sleeve. So if anyone's looking for one track from that record, I would
Heart
recommend.
Heart Upon My Sleeve.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have stars upon your heart, upon your sleeve.
I'm going to say 3 stars for this one. It is very solid, but I would love to have seen what he would have gone on to have done.
All right. And what are you saying, John?
I'm saying 3 as well. I admired Avicii for what he did, but EDM is a genre that can leave me very cold. It can seem so clinical. There's less of it on this album. There's more of what he could have done, but there's also quite a bit of filler here.
Right, let's move on then to final album this evening. Happiness Begins from the Jonas Brothers, Kevin, Joe and Nick. Now, when I ask who are the Jonas Brothers, for some people, he's just asked who are the Jonas Brothers, who are the Rolling Stones, who are the Beatles. For other people, they go, who are the Jonas Brothers, who might be closer to my vintage, perhaps?
Well, I mean, I have to admit straight off, I am not the target demographic for this album.
Right.
I only found out actually earlier today that the Jonas Brothers is actually another Jonas Brother, a really young one actually, he's a teenager, and apparently amongst Jonas Brothers fans, he's called Bonus Jonas, which I sort of loved. But the 3 Jonas Brothers came up through the Disney.
If you're your youngest brother, that's what happens.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, anyway, let it go.
So the 3 brothers came up through the Disney Channel. They became very successful. They had 3 or 4 albums and took a break back in 2009
after the 4th album.
After the 4th album, and now having had side projects, solo forays, and several celebrity marriages, of course, they are back with this record that made me cry a little, and not in a good way.
Okay. The first track is called Sucker. I'm a sucker for all the subliminal things no one knows about you.
About you. And you're making my typical me break my typical rules. It's true, I'm a sucker for you.
I couldn't get either of you to clap along to soccer there from this, the opening
track.
We're
worried about your web camera show.
Yeah. Credibility gone forevermore.
No,
that's a tune. To be fair to the Jonas Brothers, that's the single. It's a tune. They played it on Graham Norton. I thought it was great. I was actually quite interested to hear this album because I'd heard that song and I thought, you know what, this could be pretty good.
And that's how they open the
album. There's a massive but coming at the end of that sentence. And I'm going to fill in the but. Is it's a very bad album. It really is. And the thing is, they've looked to Ryan Tedder, who is used so frequently for these big pop productions, and it's utterly homogenous. Like it feels so
monotonous
and overly produced and bloated and really terrible singing. And I have to say, I mean, yes, there's Nick Jonas is married to a lady called Priyanka Chopra, who's probably more famous than him because she's a Bollywood actress, absolutely enormous in that world. A song called A Love Letter. I have run out of sick bags listening to it. I mean, I don't mind a bit of kind of bit of romance every now and again in my music as long as it's kind of tastefully done. There's something so distasteful
about
this
album. Were you crying as well, in the same way as Nadine was?
No, I wasn't. I was just making horrible faces while clamping my hands to my ears.
My neighbours passed the window while I was listening to it and I had to like resist the urge to run to turn it down.
I'm listening to this, I'm only doing it for work.
They're thinking, that's that cool editor from the Sunday Business Post. We mustn't buy that paper anymore.
People can buy whatever
people can buy it, and also, yes, there's lots of great newspapers out there.
Always buy the Business Post.
We asked you to review Happiness Begins. I get the impression that this was not top of your albums list this week, John Mayer.
It could have been much more interesting. They could have messed up the tempo a little bit. They could have tried lots of different
producers. Put in
other
genres. They just do the same song.
The same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring Bonus Jonas in. Maybe I think about an album Bonus might be better than this.
Stars from you, John.
A very generous one from me.
Very generous one. And Nadine?
Two for the single.
Which is the thing that we just heard.
Yeah.
All right, well, there we go. Jonas, the Jonas Brothers, whose album was called Happiness Begins, the Divine Comedy, whose album was called Office Politics, and the Avicii album, which is called Tim. That's what John Mayer and Nadine O'Regan were speaking to us about this evening. I think I know the two that they want you to go out and get.